or worship in a way that gives lip service, you're in a dangerous position. Remember in the Old Testament, remember Nadab and Abihu? Remember that situation where they thought they would take it upon themselves to go outside of the prescribed pattern of worship that God had set? They got those censers, right? And they put incense in it, and they offered, as it were, strange fire before the Lord. Remember what happened to them? Yeah, they were incinerated, right? Because they died because of their, they were not following a pattern of worship. In fact, the Lord, after it was done, Moses said to Aaron, don't even mourn for them at this point anyway, because he said, this is what God has said, by those who come near me, I will hold it up, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people, I will be honored. When we come to worship, we got to remember we're coming into the presence of the Lord. We're coming into a place where we are meeting with Him, especially at this table, this time. We're coming into a time of communion. That's even more intimate. When you think about the whole setting of that, where the disciples were in that room, sitting around the table or reclining around the table with Christ there, it was an intimate time where Jesus gave them this, what we do here, the cup, the bread, the just that closeness that is there. When we think about worship, we need to think of there is a closeness that's there, but there's a danger in it if we don't do it the way our Lord has set out for us. In fact, just turn to that familiar passage here in 1 Corinthians 11. We use this just about every time we have the Lord's table, and appropriately so. But it's interesting that this instruction that we receive from the Lord through Paul is set, it's kind of couched in a setting where Paul is rebuking the Corinthians for their improper way of how they were going about the participating in that time, that Lord, that what we call the Lord's table. Sort of look at verse 17, start there. It says, in this instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I will not praise you. Here's the picture. You can see the picture there. Paul is saying, you're abusing this time of worship, you're abusing this time around the table. And then in verse 23 is what we'll speak a little bit about, is where he says, this is what I received. This is the correct way you ought to go about receiving these elements as you gather together. You're not to do it as a thinking that you are the only one there, you know, in a self-centered way, not at all. You're with a body of other believers. You don't just grab what you can, and because there was a feast that was involved when they came to do this. There was also a time together as a church there. Many would come and abuse that time by eating ahead of time or even drinking too much. They got drunk. What a way to dishonor Christ, and certainly not a way to go to worship. But Paul begins here, and I'm going to try to do this. Pastor Johnson a while ago gave me a little booklet that talked about the Lord's table and some of the aspects of it and the emphasis of it. And at the end of the booklet, there was a good kind of pattern about how, when we think about this passage, that it will help us to remember it. There's five things in this passage that you can point to looking to understanding it, but but how to remember some of these things. The first thing talked about was to look back, because this is a table of remembrance. And that's what we do here. We remember what the Lord has done. Pick up in verse 23. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' The same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" The bread and the cup are to remind us of what our Savior has done. So we need to look back and remember the cross. Remember his suffering, the bread in being broken, you know, being torn apart, the idea of our Christ himself and all that he suffered. We're to enter into that in a way where we remember that. Now, we can't obviously literally feel that pain, but we can remember those things that are described to us in Scripture of what happened to our Savior, the whips that were used that would tore his back apart, the slaps that he received, the tearing out of the beard, the placing of the crown of thorns on his head and the blood that came from that, the abuse, the spitting on him, all those things. And it just reminds, we need to remember that when he did that, and I think you can safely say that he had us in mind, as he suffered those indignities, he suffered that abuse, that misuse by his own creation, that he had us in his mind, in his heart. As he died for his people, it says, and we are known before the foundation of the world. We are a people set aside for him. He died. He died for his people. That's a personal, that is more than personal. That is an intimate thinking there where Christ thought of us when he endured all that mistreatment, all that vileness, all that wickedness, even to the point of death, where his body was abused and in that sense broken. We know that no bones were broken, but in that sense he suffered greatly. And it was real suffering. It's not some spiritual thing. It was real suffering that he had. There was spiritual suffering as well, and for sure, as the scriptures, he cried out, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" It was spiritual suffering as well, as the Father, as it were, turned his back on the Son. We sang of that this morning. The reality is, he did that for, and you can put yourself there, for me. If you're a believer in Christ, if you've come to faith in Christ and are following him, that's why this table is for believers. It makes no sense for an unbeliever to come to this table. There's no way to enter into any of that. It's only for those who are believers and only those who are that have that intimate walk with Christ, those who are truly his. When the blood, when the wine, and he took the cup of wine, he poured it out, saying, "This is the new covenant, and this is my blood shed for you." Really, shed for many, but shed for, personalize it, for you, as he hung on that cross. As the nails pierced into his flesh, the blood came out. And he did it for us. That's what we're to remember. We're to look back and not forget what our Savior has done. Now, in this remembrance, we also, the table of the Lord is a kind of a mixture in one way, in that we remember these things, but we also don't forget that he didn't stay on that cross. He didn't stay in a tomb. He didn't stay dead. He's alive. And that's why we can look up at the same time. As we remember our Savior and all that he endured, we also recognize that he is now seated at the right hand of the Father, that right now he is interceding for us on our behalf, that he is a risen Savior, a powerful Savior, who is continuing to build his kingdom, even as we heard this morning. And there is nothing that's going to thwart that. So we look back and we can look up to our Savior, to the one who has redeemed us, the one who even now is our help through the Holy Spirit, and who is guiding us and guarding us in this life. So we look back, we look up, and if you continue reading there, picking up in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And there we see a looking forward to that day when, well, in that kingdom anew, we will eat and drink with our Savior at a great feast, as the Bible puts it. There will be even closer intimacy and fellowship with the Lord Jesus in that day. And we look forward to that day when he comes again, when he comes to establish his kingdom, when he comes and our enemies are defeated. There is all those aspects of our life are changed in that we are made perfect. We are made like him because of his power, because of what he had done. No more tears. All the sorrow was gone. No more pain. We look forward to that day, and that's all based on what Christ has accomplished here. Christ had not gone to that cross. He had not shed his blood. If he had not given himself in that way, we wouldn't have any of that to look forward to. But we do, because Christ did die, and he did rise again, and we look forward to that day when he comes again, when he will come in might and power and will take us to be with him. Now, some of us may be here. We don't know any of this. We don't know. We may be here when he returns. But when you look around the world and the situation and the way things are going, your mind says, wow, yes, even so, come Lord Jesus, right? Amen. But we don't know. But until then, we do this. We remember what he has done. We look up to him. We look forward to that time when he will come in power and might, and we will be glorified with him. It'll be a marvelous time. The next verse says, "Therefore, whoever eats of the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But if let a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he's to eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Here we see, we've looked back and up, we look forward, we also look within. We look in our own hearts and see what is in our own being. You know, we come before this table. It's a time where we meet with our Savior. It's a time where, I'm sure you're like me, I think of the sins and I've confessed those sins and how I have let the Lord down. And yet we can come to a table like this and remember, for those sins he died. For those sins he has gone through all of that for us. And we examine ourselves, our own hearts. You know, to come to this table, you can't come perfectly, that's for sure. None of us are perfect in that. But as we come to this table, we recognize that we are in Christ. We're going to sing that hymn I passed out, "Complete in Thee." We are in him. And it is a place of joy and rejoicing, but it's all based on what he has accomplished for us on our behalf. So we look in, we examine our hearts. There's much more to it, but I want to go more. But we confess our sins, we renew our steadfastness in him. As we eat, we partake of the bread and cup, which nourishes us. Yes, it is just plain bread, and it is just the fruit of the vine. But spiritually, we are entering into this where we are strengthened in Christ, where we as it were, eat of him, and it helps us in our spiritual walk and our growth and our sustenance, our spiritual sustenance in a real way. That's what we do as we look within, and we establish that walk with him, and we hold even closer to him. Some ways, sometimes I think it would be great to do the Lord's table every Lord's Day. Many, many places do that. It's because it brings us back to where we need to be in our thinking and our heart and our mind. Not that every day we ought not to examine ourselves. We ought to, for sure. But it is a special time to draw our minds and our hearts close to him. Just picturing yourself at the same table where the Lord Jesus is, where he's distributing the bread and he passes the cup, and we're with him in that way. It's a blessed time. Go on to read here. says this, "For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world." Thinking of that, that's, again, there's the realization that this is not to be done in a frivolous way or in a light manner. But here, the instruction for this is given right in the middle of judgment. In fact, some of the Corinthians, it says here, many among you are weak, they're sick, and a number even have died, really. That, I sleep. There is judgment here for not following the Lord's path, for not doing. We can be thankful the Lord is long-suffering for us. He doesn't deal with us like he did with Nadab and Abihu. Thank the Lord for that, because you know what? I don't know if any of us would be here right now, would we? His loving kindness is gracious, and it's because of the cross. It's because of what Christ has done, what he has accomplished. He has paid the price for our sin. He has ransomed us. He has set us free from the bondage of sin and death. And we can rejoice in that. And that's why this time is a somber time, and yet it's a joyous time, all in one. Because we remember what Christ has done. We look to him. We realize that he is coming again and will establish all this, and we can deal with our own hearts. And lastly, verse 33 says, "So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment." And then he says, "The remaining matters I will arrange when I come." There's other things he has to deal with them about in this matter. But the last point is this. We look inward, but we also look around us. We look outward. We look around us because we see other believers, fellow believers, who are in the same path that we're walking, who are brothers and sisters in Christ. We look around and we realize that we are eating this together. When you come together, wait for one another. He's reminding them, before you weren't waiting, don't do that. Be one. That's why when we pass the bread, you don't just get it and stick it in your mouth right away, right? We do it because we're eating it together as the people of God. Because we don't want to be unaware that we have brothers and sisters around us. And it's not just limited here as well. We have brothers and sisters all over this world, really. We're a local body where God has given us the privilege of being able to come into his presence this way and to eat this meal, this communion meal together as a remembrance of what he has done. And we can do that as brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's why it's important to be, you know, part of a congregation, part of a people who have given themselves to the Lord. In our day and time, we call about church membership, and we talk about the commitment to the body, to having evidence, the reality of that change of heart when you have been baptized and brought into his and brought in that way. That's all very important, because it's an outward evidence of what's really happening. And that's why, you know, we gathered to this table. We come here with realization that we are a people of God, coming before Christ and communing with Christ himself, but also there is that communing with each other. So we look around and we want to be encouragement, so we want to be those examples to other believers as we together eat together, as we walk this walk in this world together, because we need each other, really, when it comes down to it. God has said it that way. We have the fellowship of the believers, and it's important for us to not neglect that, to not neglect gathering together, not neglect the worship, because this is what we do. This is truly worship and serving Christ. He serves us in a way because he has gone to that cross, but we serve him as we remember him, as we look to him, and as we trust in him. And that's this time when we're going to be a little bit, we'll be distributing the bread and we'll be passing the cup. It is a joyful time, it's a thankful time, but it's also a sobering time to remind us of what our Savior has done for us and for our behalf. One other thing I just was thinking of is when Jesus gave the cup gave the bread and then gave the cup, he did it in thankfulness. You know, here Jesus was going to that cross. He knew exactly what was ahead of him. But he still was thankful, and he was thankful because he knew he was redeeming a people, you and myself. What a blessing that is. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our God, we're grateful that you are a God who loves us with a deep love, an everlasting love. And Lord, you love us so much. You love, continue to love us so much. We thank you for sending your Son. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming. We thank you for enduring all that you did when cruel hands put you on that cross, when wicked men condemned you, when the abuse was poured out on you. You were like a lamb that went to the slaughter, silent before those who were just mocking and who were doing all these things. Lord, what can we say except thank you? Father, we praise your name for your goodness to us in allowing this and in planning this for us. Even before the world began, you knew us. Lord, what a marvel that is. So, Father, we're grateful that you have given us these instructions, too, that we can know exactly what these meetings are and how we are to approach you. Help us to worship you, not just in lip service, not just in a way that is not really meaningful, but Lord, may we enter into that. We need to do that, Lord. So we ask for your help, and I pray for your people here. There are many who are going through struggles and hardships. Lord, may this time be that one where they would draw close to you, to each other. Lord, that you would be glorified in all this. Help us, Father, to focus upon you. Help us to love you even more, to be more tied to you even than we were before. Lord, to grow in our longing for you, looking towards that day when you will return, and to want more of you, to want to feed on you even more and more all the time. Lord, may this be a time that reminds us of all of that. So help us, Lord, as we continue in our worship, and Lord, that you would be praised in it. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.